All right, what's going on, guys? We have a guest finally. We've been promising it for a few weeks. It's been a little while. You've just been hearing Davis and I talk. But we have Hamza Shambari. So he is from Haskell, and which is the company that I used to work for. We might have crossed paths once or twice, but this is really the first time that we actually got to sit down and have a conversation together, which is really exciting. So Hamza, he just wrote a new book, which we're going to talk about. He is also very well known in the construction industry for innovation wise. So you kind of always trying to be on the cutting edge, right? Of innovation, of construction, just trying to make it a better work environment, an easier work environment for the trades, for the management, for you name it. So we'll jump into that a little bit. But just to start off with, who are you? What do you do? And where are you from?
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. Fan of your podcast. So I'm the director of innovation at Haskell, and Haskell is a design build company based out of Jacksonville. Started in 2016 with Haskell as kind of like a BIM VDC specialist, and then kind of like continued to evaluate other technologies and things that can enhance how we deliver projects to our clients. So that's kind of how I was looped into this innovation group we call DisruptTech. It's kind of like a separate LLC within Haskell. That's all we do. My job is a dream job that I test technologies day in and day out and try to see what works, what doesn't, and present it to end users within the company and try to see if there's, you know, any appetite. We listen to a lot of our employees too in terms of what problem statements are there and how we can utilize some of the technologies to help solve for some of those problem statements.
Awesome. Walker didn't mention we're also going to be asking for a guitar solo. So I need you at the end. We'll just kind of key that in the background, some bed music on the way out. But interesting. I mean, so tell us a little bit about your background. You know, I like to always ask, you know, how did you get to the point where you're at?
Yeah, that's an interesting story because I have to go back all the way.
Yeah, dude.
I grew up in Saudi Arabia. That's where my family's from. I was born in Boston, so I have dual citizenship.
Awesome.
Growing up in Saudi, my family was farmers mostly. So there's nothing really tying to the construction industry per se, except that when I was around like 7 or 8, there was a new house being built right next to ours. And over there, that nobody does stick builds. It's all, you know, foundation, concrete, CMU.
Wow.
Thing. So I watched and I like fascinated and just watched it as a kid, right? I was like, come back from school, throw the backpack, and go to the window and just watch these guys problem solve day in and day out. Like there's always like somebody standing there kind of like scratching his head. Like what about if we do it this way? So it was always problem solving and it just intrigued me. I decided to kind of go the route like after I finished high school to go with architectural engineering, which is a little bit of a mixture of both, right? So you get some design, some architecture side of it, but also you get some of the construction management aspect. Nothing, not a lot of engineering, kind of like civil or anything, but it's a mixture of both worlds. And that kind of opened a whole other world for me, right? It's like, it's not just design. It's not just construction. It's how this entire kind of system works together. Worked for a couple of years as kind of like an owner's rep, kind of just looking at the projects, making sure that the GCs are doing their job, the subcontractors and what have you, inspections. And then just decided to go for higher education. That's kind of when I came back to the States in 2008. Got my master's, PhD from University of Florida. Go Gators.
Nice.
And then I joined Haskell. That's where I'm at.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit. I know Haskell, right? Is they're a big design build GC, correct? So
yeah.
Getting the architect engineering degree, I'm sure translates well into working for Haskell, but tell us a little bit more for the people, you know, back home in the U.S., they don't know, you know, I remember talking to someone, Walker, from the Europe, and they talked about how they call it a quantity surveyor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To us, it's just an estimator, but they do things a little bit differently. So tell us a little bit about the architect engineer type college role, because for kids listening to the podcast, they may not understand that, right? They're trying to figure out their path in construction.
Yeah.
There's multiple ways, but tell us a little bit more about that part.
Absolutely. So there's the creative, completely creative aspect, architecture school, right? There's interior design, landscape architecture. These are more kind of subjective, artistic part of the job, right? It's like, here's the vision for what this could look like. And these you know, folks are extremely talented. I am not that talented.
Oh, gosh.
So when I started this whole architectural engineering program, it's actually it was actually originated at Penn State University. It's not widely known. But like that's what the university that I went to in Saudi Arabia called King Fahd University of Petroleum and Minerals. They actually adopted the Penn State model of what if we bring both worlds, right? What if we give some design courses that teaches you that creative side, but also at the same time, let me give you some structural engineering. Let me throw in some statics and fluid mechanics at you. And then let's talk about, you know, scheduling, estimating, project management. So it's really a mixture of all these different things, which is, I thought it was fascinating. It was hard as hell, but
yeah,
got through it.
I bet. Right. So you do this course, right? And you say you go and get your master's degree and you jump into construction. So why did you choose the BDC route versus maybe a design route within Haskell or with any company, or even a construction building route? So what drew you to the VDC side of it?
That's a great question. So when I started my master's, that was like 2008, 2009, BIM was just starting to get there, right? It's the beginnings of it. It's like everybody's talking about this new thing. And I got to learn it from the professors, from the people that are in the front line of research, that are like looking at all these models and how do we optimize them. Very lucky to work with Dr. Issa at UF. He's great at that. So that's what intrigued me, right? And it wasn't just about the BIM aspect. It's like, what else can you build on top of that, right? It's like, so if I have everything in digital in 3D, what else can this unlock? It's not just it's not just a different type of information. You know what I mean? It's like, there's so much more that you can build off, like the quantity takeoffs, automatic, right? Because if it's all in the model, it's literally just a couple of clicks away. And it exports all your quantities, scheduling for descheduling, right? It's like, what if you tie the time to the 3D model and now you're seeing how it's going to be? So it was just fascinating seeing that part of it. And I just loved it. And I continued researching in that realm. So published a bunch of papers about, you know, using BIM and education and how it increases the profitability overall for a project that utilizes it. And so that's kind of how I actually also coach the BIM team at the UF ended up winning the national championship a couple of years in 2013, 2014.
Cool.
So that was 10 years ago. And that whole team right now they're all over the map right now in terms of companies they're working for, their higher ups. But I am planning on posting a throwback pictures of 10 years ago of those kids. When they were kids back then.
That's cool. Like,
this is 10 years ago we scored first place.
So Davis and I, two things. So Davis and I actually met on a competition team. That is how we got connected. So we're big fans of competition teams. We absolutely love it. And ours was a roofing competition though. It wasn't VDC. But so we learned VDC in school. We had to take, it was called CIT, something information technology, construction information technology. And so we had to take one and two. We did Revit and Navisworks and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of have like a basic understanding. And I know Haskell's big into it and they did it. We did it a lot on the project that I was on, but I wasn't involved in that very much because I kind of came into the project later and it was pretty much already coordinated. And now jumping into this project, I jumped in kind of in the middle start of it, like start kind of mid start of it. And I've gotten to see how like phenomenal it can be. Yeah. I mean, we have three meetings a week, right? We have two with the trades, and because our building's kind of, it needs a lot of coordination, but we have two with the trades and one with the design team that we go over everything from the week. It is amazing the amount of time, the amount of money is the big thing that it has saved us, and really the amount of headache, right? Because you make one tiny little change and then all of a sudden nothing works. You have to go re-coordinate everything. I mean, we've had to move things left and right multiple times, right? But it costs a lot of money to do that because it's man hours. But if you had to do that in the field, I mean, it would be astronomical the amount of rework costs that it would take to go back and redo everything, right? And so I really have gotten to see the value of VDC and BIM and Navisworks and all that coordination right now on this project. It's amazing, right? So go into like a little bit of how you've seen that kind of develop over time.
Yeah.
Like you said, when you first got into it, it was brand new. So you, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you had clash detection. I don't really think you probably had the 3D probably wasn't very good, right? Maybe not much differentiation between mechanical, plumbing, electrical, you name it. So over time, how has that developed and how have you seen that, right? And what has Haskell done to really bring the innovation forward in that area?
Absolutely. So yeah, it has come a long way since I started like playing around Revit in 2008, 2009.
Wow.
It's a completely different software right now. And it's in terms of what it can do and what you can design with it and how you can coordinate the different things, bringing things into Navisworks, federating the models. We're actually pushing for like even going out of Navisworks, sorry, Autodesk, and going into Revisto, which is
really
like Navisworks on steroids. It's like everything is web-based in a sense that, you know, you don't have to send anybody a file. They just log in. And if they're part of that team, they see the project, they click on it, they see all the updates, the drawings immediately match on the 3D. So you can see both worlds. There's so many things that they can open with it. And right now, so funny that you mentioned clash detection, because even today, if you go to Navisworks and you start a clash detection or clash test, it'll give you 7 million things, right? It's like,
oh, yeah,
this duct is going through the ceiling. I'm like, yes, we understand. We're not going to, you know, cut the holes in the ceiling and all that modeling aspect of it. But there's a lot of smarter things right now with Revisto that is what we call like smart clash detection. A lot of automations that goes into it too. So it understands that, you know, this is not a clash. This is a column that's going through a slab. It's supposed to tie in somehow. Oh. Their detail is not there. It's not a clash per se. But to go even a step further, I sound like a Revisto rep now. I'm not trying to sell anybody.
No, this is cool. I've never heard of it. Yeah,
me too.
But you can actually assign kind of what they call rules. So you say anything that's, you know, mechanical clashing with structural, assign it to the mechanical engineer. And immediately just all of it like automatically goes to that person. And it says, hey, here's all your clashes. You need to move your duct so it's not hitting steel or something like that. So it did come a long, long way. And there's a lot of different automations that you can add on top of that. Yeah, increase the ability to not only resolve that coordination, but also in the field when you're building it, how do you get to the information that you need quickly, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a big pain point is like everybody's looking at these sheets of drawings or even in an iPad, right? PDFs, so you're scrolling, trying to find that. But right now there's this whole like LLMs and natural language processing that you can start asking questions. You're like, hey, show me everything that is related to AHU21. And it just pulls up all specifications.
That's
it pulls
cool.
up everything that's related to it. You can tie it into your procurement schedule. There's so many things that, again, that's what I got excited about them is not BIM. It's what else you can build on top of it.
That's cool. I'm curious, before we continue, I want to ask about, you know, the book and talking about how your role at Haskell more involved, but let's go a step back real quick. I want to talk about most students, they don't know about the VDC option, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know there's plenty of podcasts right now just within construction now that's literally just focused on VDC. Talk a little bit about that opportunity, because to me, I think this is the side that we have to work on, I guess, marketing, right, Walker? We talked about construction marketing and how we don't get the word out well enough as construction people. It's one of the reasons why we started a podcast, right? To show people there's a route into construction. But this particular, like, this is how you get the people that are looking at the Apples and the Googles, right, to come into the construction industry, because we have a full-time modeler on our site, Walker. He's doing 4 buildings on how big of a job ours is. And the dude's a rock star. He's awesome. He's saving us plenty of time. Like, he's coordinating with the trades MEP guys, but I don't know. He talked about it too, right? He went civil engineering from UAB or Auburn and then came to Brassfield and Gore and was like, there's a VDC option, man. Why didn't I think of this before? How did I not know about this, right? So to tell people, maybe talk about the opportunity there, but then also how would you encourage someone to take that role? Is it a certain makeup of the person that they would like VDC? Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the construction industry, that's what we keep saying over and over again. This is not your grandfather's construction industry. Forget about like that 20, 30 years ago. It's completely different right now. There's so much technology and cool stuff. We have robotics, we have AI, we have drones, we have VR, AR, you name it. There's so much that is technologically advanced. And we're continuing to push. We're nowhere even near where we could be as an industry. It's only going to get so much better from here. So that's what my advice to anybody kind of trying to enter this is, yes, there are basics that you need to learn, right? It's like what's construction management 101, what's estimating, what's scheduling, what's all these different aspects that, cohesively make the construction industry. But always look at it from, that's what I always try to tell the new generation coming into it, is like, look at it from a slightly skeptical eye. Like, all right, I see that you should do estimating this way, but is there a better way? Is there a faster way? Is there a more accurate way? And it's all right now being enabled with all these technologies. So VDC, again, is just the foundation of all of these things. There's so much more that you can accomplish in any of those roles. You don't even have to be specifically VDC. I actually talk to pioneers in the industry that in big companies that I'm not going to name because I'm not with that company. That their vision for VDC for it to not be its own department. So everybody can use the model, right? From your PM, from your superintendent, from your foreman in the field, everybody goes into the model and manipulates it one way or another, right? Based on certain permissions.
That's cool.
Because all the information are there, right? But that's what I was trying to get back at is for education-wise, if you're going into the construction industry, it's a hell of a different world than what you expect it to be.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
much, much cooler. It's much more advanced. I love talking with I'm going to mention another podcast on your podcast. I don't know if that's frowned upon.
No, go for it. Go for
The
it.
Construction Brothers podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler,
Yeah, we've
Tyler and
had them
Eddie
on.
Campbell, they're awesome. But look at what Tyler is doing. Tyler has actually switched the entire focus from being like in the industry to having a creative kind of company that talks about that, right? It's like, let me help you come up with ways to advertise for the new generation that are way cooler than what you keep talking about. It's like, if you look at any job description right now, it's like, we need estimators that know how to count. That's not exciting. Now, show me the cool stuff. Show me what else, what technologies, so you can attract that young talent that's looking for things that are cool, right? It's
That's
not
right.
just the Googles and the Apples that are doing cool technologies right now. It's like, come to the construction industry and I'll
That's right.
show you so many cool things.
The
What?
way.
Go
Oh,
ahead.
sorry. I want to add on real quick. You also, right? So we have our BDC lady for our job is from Auburn, which War Eagle. But another shout out to why someone might want to join the BDC route is that she works from anywhere in the world. And not like maybe not when you first start off with, right? But when you're good at your job and you're able and you're responsible enough. I mean, when I first got on, she was in Spain and Greece and like all around Europe. And she crushes it. She's so good at her job. And she was able to do that just traveling the world. Now she's in Colorado, but she's based out of like Atlanta, right? All over the place. And she does the BDC and she does it really well. So if that's
That's
something
awesome.
that like you want to work from home, right? Or you want to work remote or travel the world, well, BDC is a good route to go because there is a high potential that you can do something like that. Sorry, Davis, go on. I wanted to throw that out there.
No, I mean, I think that's great. I would also add, I think there's a tremendous opportunity, right? I know the Googles and the Facebooks and the Apples, Teslas, right? That's where we're trying to get as far as marketing. But to me, there's a huge opportunity because, as I mentioned before, we're just growing. Like we're just now starting to scratch the surface, right? And so when I think about that, I've seen within my 3 years full time in construction, superintendents are more willing. Maybe they're not the guys actually using the technology, but they're more willing to have your field engineer or your VDC guy come out to the job site and they do it and then show the superintendent how to do it. I've seen within the past three jobs, superintendents going, yeah, all right, let's do it. Like if there's a better, faster way, it costs it's going to be better for the company. Now, why wouldn't we do that? And so to me, we're starting to see, and the last two jobs have had younger superintendents. So maybe that's helpful, but we're starting to see a mind shift of really, you know, we don't just have to do it one way, which is to me, I mean, that's miracle moving for me to see a superintendent go, hey, I'm giving up the reins and I want to hear your opinion. How can you help me, guy that's on a computer all day and he doesn't even know what he does, right? But to me, I know they already have value. So I would encourage people, man, get into this industry. I hope you, if you're into the VDC world, try it out because, again, like Hamza said, he's built a career off of it and he absolutely loves his job.
Absolutely. And we've seen superintendents that are like so embracing this new world that you start like every day, like you just show up on the job site at 6 a.m. and you're starting, you know, your daily, let's sit down, let's talk about what we're doing today. The drone flight from the day before is already on the screen and they're seeing what's on site like as of last night, right? And it's like brand new. And then you have the 360 cameras, somebody's going in there and taking all those kind of Google Street View from the job site. So, hey, you subcontractor, did you do that part? Let me check it. Let's go see, you know, and that's immediately right. from the job site trailer, you can access all that information in the tip of your fingers. It's instantly. Right there. You don't have that's to. Awesome. Yeah.
I love it because we can't do it on this job for security reasons, but on my last job, you know, let's just be honest. Let's unveil the curtain for people that are in the industry. There's heated battles sometimes within the industry, right? One way to help solve that is to go, boom, here, like Hamza just talked about. So you have a 360 capture reality of really like a Google Street View. All right, well, you said your duct work was into zone B. I don't think it's in zone B. I think it's in zone A. You take up the latest scan. Oh, wait, you're actually in zone B. Let's go ahead and move to the next topic, right? And it's that simple. It's that simple. But 20 years ago, that would have been just like a fist fight and let's go all out there and like look at it. And then it's going to be, oh, my pride's going to get in the way. I don't want to admit it, right? So like instantly you solve a problem and we're moving to the next thing, keeping the meeting going.